July 15, 1912. My best friend Helen and I have agreed to keep diaries from now on. My older sister Dora keeps a diary too, but she gets furious with me if I so much as ask about it. She doesn't approve of my keeping a diary, says little children, meaning me and Helen, shouldn't do it because they will write such silly stuff. Little children. And we're only 2 years younger than she. Well, I'm sure there won't be anything sillier in my diary than what I've seen in hers.
Gretchen was the author of that diary passage, but it could be you. WSSR Radio at Sangamon State University presents Reading and Writing and Radio, a program about creative writing. Your host for the program is Jacqueline Jackson, children's author and professor of literature at Sangamon State University.
Let's read a bit more from Gretchen's diary. July 26. I'm glad Mother advised me to bring along my doll suitcase on this trip. I know 11 is much too old to be playing with dolls, but making clothes, even for a doll, isn't really playing because it teaches you how to sew, and it's quite a thrill when you finish something. That is, it would have been if Dora hadn't come in just then and said, "Well, what do you know? The child is playing dolls." The child. What a nerve. But I got even. When she sat beside me, I stitched like mad and gave her a good long scratch on the hand with my needle. Then I said, "Sorry, I didn't realize you were so close. Of course she'll go tattling to Mama. Let her." August 7. A terrible family quarrel over Dora. Oswald told Papa he saw her flirting with men at the tennis court. Oswald said she was doing it so outrageously he couldn't stand to watch it. Papa just about hit the ceiling. He was so furious he said we can't play tennis anymore. But I don't see why I can't. If Dora wants to flirt with boys when she plays tennis, what has that got to do with me and my playing tennis? One person in the family is guilty, and another person gets punished. But that's parents for you. There's a book for children about writing called Someday You'll Write. I'm not going to tell you about it because I haven't read it. And the reason I haven't read it is because the title puts me off so. What that title is saying to me is, whatever you're writing now, you fourth grader or fifth grader or sixth or seventh grader, isn't very important because you're young. It's just an exercise. You're still just learning how to do things. And these things are important to learn because you need to know them for when you're grown up. Right now, you're in the process of becoming. All this while, when you're young, is getting ready. And when you're grown up, then you'll really write. You'll have arrived. But I object to that idea. I think that all of life is a process of becoming and of learning, and that we never arrive. Does that mean that we spend all our lives getting ready and that we never get there? No, that's not what I mean. I mean just the opposite. I believe that we're there already. I am, you are. We're where we are all along. You arrived when you were born. And when you were one, you were doing the things that were right and proper to a one-year-old and on a one-year-old level, and the same when you were five. And it's still true now that you're older, or at least I hope it's still true, that you haven't been spoiled by the someday you'll write sort of philosophy, which makes you think that whatever you do now is just a getting ready and isn't valuable in itself for what it is. Lots of people think this about lots of things with children, but let's look at writing in particular. What's the difference between, say, fifth grade writing and adult writing? Many adults write no better, in fact, not as well, as many fifth graders. So it isn't a rule that adults write better than fifth graders. Some do, some don't. Well then, is it subject matter? is it that adults write about adult and therefore important concerns? Well, I've discovered that adults write with all levels of maturity on all levels of subjects, and some are important and some are trivial. I've read plenty of silly adult writing. And like Gretchen says, there won't be anything sillier in your writing than there is in a lot of grown-up writing. And I can guarantee you that some of it will be a lot more important. Because children are people, too. You write about the concerns of a 9-year-old or a 10-year-old or an 11-year-old at your own various and varying degrees of ability. Well, then, is it because adults get published and children don't? Well, most adults don't get published either. And there are some children who do get published, maybe a lot more children than you might expect. One sort of children's writing is published every now and then, and that's children's journals or diaries. And these are read with enjoyment by adults and children alike. And why? I don't think it's because they are cute, as adults sometimes think about children's work. I think it's more because they are fresh, they are original, they are authentic. They aren't pretending to be anything they're not. Mostly, they haven't been written for anybody else. Gretchen doesn't expect Dora or anybody to read her diary, and it is usually an accident when a children's diary is read. Often it is found many years later, the adult that the child becomes finds her old diaries, shows them to her children or to her friends, and other people enjoy them and decide to get them published. Or a child dies, as in the case of Anne Frank, and her diary is found in the room in which she spent so many years as a prisoner from the Nazis, hiding from the Nazis, and that gets published. Therefore, the children are not trying consciously to write for an adult with subjects that they think an adult will want to hear in a manner in which the adult will want to hear it. They don't worry about their spelling. They don't worry about their grammar. They say all sorts of outrageous and awful things that they might suspect that their teachers or their mothers would give them a good dressing down for if they were found. My own children do that. I wish they wouldn't leave them around in such conspicuous places if they don't want adults to read them. But they expect that we adults are not going to violate the privacy of their journals and read what they're writing. Children's journals tell honest feelings, and they give real pictures of what life was like for that child. They include the details of everyday living that an adult might not put in his writing, may not feel as important. In our family, we've read lots of children's journals over the years and have enjoyed them very much. Two of our four girls are great journal writers, write in them all the time, and partly I think this is because that they have read the book of Maggie Owen and various other children's journals and seen, so to speak, what others are doing. One book we've come on recently is called Small Voices, edited by Joseph and Dorothy Berger. And it's a collection for adults of excerpts, bits and pieces, out of children's diaries, some of them very ancient and some of them very new. Because they take pieces, they leave out a lot of what you might call the more ordinary or duller material. And so, as I read some of these excerpts to you, don't think, oh, but their lives are so exciting, or oh, but they write so well. Recognize that the editors have put 20 or 30 children's diaries in one book, and that means that they have cut out a lot of the ordinary material. So do not worry in writing journals about whether your material is ordinary or not. Just write. And perhaps someday, if your journal is found and is published, some editor might cut out the more ordinary things. Here's one that was written over 200 years ago by Esther Edwards, the daughter of the famous Puritan preacher Jonathan Edwards. Northampton, Massachusetts, February 13, 1741. This is my 9th birthday, and Mrs. Edwards, my mother, has had me stitch these sundry sheets of paper into a book to make me a journal. January 9, 1742. Mrs. Edwards was 33 years old today. That seems very old. I wonder if I shall live to be 33. Mrs. Edwards seemed very serious all the day long, as if she were inwardly praying, "Lord, so teach me to number my days that I may apply my heart unto wisdom." Indeed, this she said to us girls when we were trying to practice some birthday frolics for her. And when she came from her devotions, her face actually shone, as though, like Moses, she had come down from the mount. I do not think we girls ever will be so saintly as our mother is. At any rate, we do not begin so. I do not know as I want to be. And later on, my mother says my journal thus far is rather stilted and mature for me, though everything in the family is mature. And on another page, she is going riding with her father. When we reached the Indian's well, I slid off the horse and brought a birch bark cup of crystal water for father to drink, but not before I had given myself a great surprise. For having put on my mother's hat in sport, the first reflection in the dark water seemed to be the face of my mother instead of my own. A 12-year-old Dutch boy, whose real name we don't know, he's called Dirk, had been keeping a diary for 3 years when his happy life in Rotterdam ended suddenly on May 9, 1940. Here is May 10. Something terrible happened last night. War began. Before daylight I woke up. I could hear explosions and people were shouting and running under our windows. Mother rushed in her dressing gown and told me to put on my coat and come quickly. Father had Keechee in his arms. We hurried across the street to the Baron's and went down into his air raid shelter. There were great flames shooting into the sky and beams from the searchlights, and the sirens were going very loud. Voices on the radio sounded strange and terribly excited. Father put Keechee in Mother's arms and went away. A few minutes later he came back, dressed and carrying a gas mask and knapsack. He kissed Mother and Keechee and me very hard and then hurried out. Mother said, "I must go to the hospital." She promised to come back as soon as she could. In a little while, the bombs began to fall. I held Keechee's hand, and she squeezed mine until it hurt. Once the cellar seemed to rock back and forth, and the Baron said, "That was close." The radio said 1,500 people had been killed in Rotterdam since 3 a.m. The bombing, we thought lasted hours, was over in 27 minutes. Tonight it started again. Mother came home on a bicycle. She looked tired and white-faced. May 11. The worst air raid of all has just come. About half the houses on our street are gone. Mevra Hartog broke down and yelled and got everyone nervous. I think she almost went crazy. Heinche Klaus was killed when he went out to look. We put our fingers in our ears, but it didn't help much. There is a strange smell in the air like burnt meat and a strange yellow light from the incendiary bombs. Three men were killed trying to move away a bomb that hadn't gone off. One was our postmaster, and I loved him very much. It is awful to watch the people standing by their wrecked houses. They don't do much. Our house wasn't hit, but the street in front of it is just a great big hole, and the cobblestones are thrown up on our lawn. It doesn't look as if there ever was a street there. Mother is going to be surprised when she sees it. 12 people on our street were killed, and I know every one of them, but I knew Heinche Klaas best. Poor little Keechee doesn't know what is happening. I think I do, and it is worse than anything I ever heard about, and worse than the worst fight in the cinema. The ambulance is coming and going, and so many dead people, making it hard for me not to cry. I did cry some while the bombing was going on, but there were so many other little children there that I don't think anyone noticed me. Later. Uncle Peter has come back. He didn't find Mother because she is dead. I can't believe it, but I know Uncle Peter wouldn't lie. We aren't going to tell Keechee yet. The ambulances are still screaming. I can't sleep or write any more now or anything. May 12. I can't believe Mother is dead and that we will never see her again. Mother was killed when the hospital was bombed. I cried almost all night, and I am ashamed of what I did in front of everybody. After Uncle Peter told me about Mother getting killed, I tried to run away from him. I tried to get out into the street to fight the Germans. I don't know everything I did. I think I was crazy. I was all right until the bombs started to fall around midnight, and then I couldn't stand it. I know I yelled and kicked and bit Uncle Peter in the hand, but I don't know why. I think I was crazy. The end of Dirk's story is unknown, and may still be going on. It is known that Uncle Peter managed to get him and his little sister first to England and then to America. But since then, he has disappeared, since his name is not his real name. And when this diary was published during the war, they changed the names of everybody in it to protect the relatives that were left behind in Holland. And here's the diary of Howard Bissell of New York City. He was 7 when he began his diary only 9 years ago. It's hard to read because of the spelling, but here goes. Today I wrote a letter to Miss Hobbs, my teacher. It goes, "Dear Miss Hobbs, could I please have permission to speak to you privately? It will only take a minute. It's very important because I have a problem that must be solved immediately and I need your help. Otherwise, I may end up with no glasses. So could I speak to you today for just a minute? From Howard." She didn't answer it, so I didn't see her. April 17. Today no answer to my letter. April 18. Today no answer to my letter to Miss Hobbs. April 19. Today no answer to my letter, so I have written to Mrs. Johnston, the principal. It goes, "Dear Mrs. Johnston, I know you're very busy, but could I please speak to you privately? I have a problem that must be solved right away. It is very important for Miss Hobbs not to know about it because she might feel embarrassed and upset if she knew I was going to talk to you instead of her. This is the problem. List of problems. 1. I have tried very hard to like Miss Hobbs because she is a kind person, but I have been very much upset even though I tried. 2. I am very bored. 3. Miss Hobbs keeps telling us to read in our readers because she has no time to teach us new things because she has to keep on writing at her desk, and I have read those stories just a million times, and I can't stand them anymore. 4. I keep bringing things for show and tell, and she won't let me show them. When I brought my owl whistle from Japan, I kept on raising my hand, but she won't let me show it, and finally it got broken. The only thing she ever liked was my whale's tooth. 5. A boy sits near me, keeps fooling around. He keeps grabbing my notebook and glasses. When Miss Hobbs tells him to stop, he throws them back, and my glasses cost $25. 6. I have been looking forward to being in a play because I'd love to be an actor. Then when our class put on a play with the alphabet in it, there were some good parts, but I was only a capital N. 7. I keep asking for my honorable mention science certificate, but she always says, "I'll see." I am very anxious to have it. 8. Can I please bring you my poems? 9. Can you please help me solve these problems? Love, Howard. I wish I could read more and more of these diary excerpts. As you can see, these children aren't writing as though they're preparing for life in some dim future. They're telling about life as they're living it now, day by day, and they're seeing it in a fresher, more revealing way than 999 out of 1,000 grown-ups, even writing grown-ups. What about you? Are you keeping a journal? Why not? What you have to say, what happens to you, how you feel about it, only you can tell. You can start it today. Don't show it to your teacher if you don't want to. Start it on notebook paper if you're there in school, but then take that first page and tape it into a blank notebook as soon as you can. The editors of Small Voices say diaries are the first draft of history. They certainly are the first draft of your own history. And one of the diary writers said, after she was grown up, "It is important to keep a notebook. First, because it puts you at ease with writing. It is informal. Then, because the keeping of notes becomes a discipline, like sketching for the artist. It was while keeping notebooks that I discovered how to capture the living moment. Your journals will be capturing your living moments. You don't have to wait till someday to write. You're writing now.
WSSR Radio at Sangamon State University has presented Reading and Writing and Radio. Send your writings to Jacqueline Jackson, Sangamon State University, Springfield, Illinois, 62708.